Just want to welcome each one of you again in this Sabbath morning. And I'm so glad that you decided to be here this morning. It's good to spend time with God, and it's good to spend time with church family. I don't know if I've seen so many people when I was presenting my presentation before, but I'm glad that friends from far and near, they came. And I do pray that God is going to give us a blessing this morning. There is a text in the Bible in Hosea 4:6. And the first part says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." I pray that will not be us, because we do want to learn more about God and about what He's doing in our lives. I'm not a very good speaker, so probably by now you know this, but I want to put myself in the hands of the Lord to guide me and give me the clarity of speech and for me to get the message across. As we know, we're going to continue this morning the health presentations. Health is a very important aspect of our lives. And truth being said, we many times we take it for granted. We don't think too much about our health unless we are sick, we're getting sick. Sadly to say, we don't even take time to thank God for the health He puts in our lives. And why we should thank God for our health. If we take a minute to think about it, how many of us are going to bed during the evening and not expect to wake up in the morning? We don't think about that, but we wake up. How many of us go to bed in the evening and don't think about moving our arms, hearing, seeing? We don't even think about it. And in the morning when we wake up, it's there and always have been there, but it's still God who gives, make all these things moving. He keeps us safe during the night. If it will be up to us, there will be a million ways for things to go wrong. So many people die in their sleep. So many people don't even realize when things happened. But in the morning, we wake up and we get going and do our own life. And we should be more conscious about God's hand in all this. We know God's cares for us. And we know that He is the sovereign of all. He is the one that cares for the big and the small things in our lives. And we tend to look at the big things and said, okay, yes, if God helps me in this, I'll be fine. But he's paying close attention to the small things in our lives, no matter how trivial can be. Before we get into the subject today, I would like to invite you to take your Bible and lift it up, and let's all repeat together. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the word of the living God. And I covenant with Him that I will study every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are coming before You again, Lord, because we do need You. And in a special way, I do need Your voice to speak to me, and I need wisdom, and I will ask for a clear speech. And Lord, make me to be useful tool in Your hands. You know the needs of each of the persons that are present here. Lord, make Your voice respond and to fulfill all our needs according to Your will. Use me according to your will and open the hearts of the hearer to listen to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, today we will make a big jump in our 10 killers, 10, top 10 killer list in regard with health. And we're going to get to, we're going to get to diabetes. We're going to talk about diabetes. We did speak for a long time, about three sessions, we did talk about heart disease, which is the number one killer. And I do plan to go back to the number two, which is cancer. But I feel more comfortable talking now about diabetes, so that's why I would like to take some time about this. The diabetes, it's put on the list at number seven. But the main concern is that this is actually not real. Because when they do the this report, they kind of look at the death certificate of the people, and if they see that the diabetes caused the death, they put them on the list. If they don't count if the diabetes is a contributing cause. It's something that make cause. It's not the main one. So there are people who die because they have diabetes. And we do need to be careful because these numbers, if you're looking at the trend each after each year and each after year, it does seem that the numbers are growing instead of coming back. And that means that we are getting sicker more and we are dying more because of these illnesses. According with a compiling report that says that about 30.3 million Americans, or about 9.4% of population has diabetes, which is about 1.25 American children and adults that have type 1 diabetes. Out of this 30.3 million, about 7.2 they don't know they have diabetes. Each year, about 1.5 million Americans are diagnosed with diabetes. Diabetes remains the seventh leading cause of death in the United States. And usually, if you're looking at the numbers, they said about 79,000 deaths are looking, they are listed as a death cause for the diabetes as a death cause. But about 252, which is about, let's say double, they do have diabetes as an underlying cause. So diabetes causes more problems than what is known right now. As always, I put myself in a position where I cannot finish things. So when I started this presentation, I said, okay, I'm going to put all the what I know about diabetes in one session, and that will be all. I cannot. I was fortunate enough to God put in my way an opportunity that I did for a number of weeks. I did diabetes education in a hospital, and I kind of get my information from a four-hour class. So I'm going to try to compress all the information in just two sessions. So what is diabetes? And these are more numbers. Usually this is the 2015 information, and there are more. Nine out of 10, they do have pre-diabetes. In one out of four people, they don't know they have diabetes. Some more information there. So what is diabetes? Diabetes, it's defined as a chronic disease associated with abnormal high levels of sugar or glucose in the blood. Note the term chronic. Chronic means long term. This is not a brief disease that a person, you know, just goes and recovers. This is a disease mostly that lasts for the rest of one person's life. In taking care of diabetes, of this disease, there is the person that has diabetes have to be involved, heavily involved. They have to make a lot of choices. We're going to talk about how diseases affect the body and in which way it develops in our body. But let me try to go to see who, when we are talking about causes, is the lifestyle causes this disease. Many times the people say, no, the research says the diabetes is caused by genetic and environmental factors, majority of diabetes. But they don't go to details and say, okay, this causes diabetes, this causes diabetes. But they do have a list of the risk factors, what may put you at risk for diabetes. One of them, it's weight, how much weight we carry around. It's known that, you know, they have numbers that show that the higher the weight you carry, the more likely you have going to be develop resistance to insulin. Inactivity, the less active you are, the higher the risk. Also, tends to run in a family. There is a number of people that they tend to have more diabetes compared with the other one. That would be African Americans, Hispanics, Native Americans, and Asian Americans. Also, age plays a role. Gestational diabetes in women that have diabetes when they have children, they are pregnant, they are at higher risk to develop diabetes. High blood pressure also increases the risk for diabetes. Abnormal cholesterol and triglyceride levels. And it's very interesting that the cholesterol, it's, you know, it has two parts. There is a good cholesterol, bad cholesterol. It's interesting that the good cholesterol, the lower the number, the higher the risk for diabetes. And also, smoking do have a say in diabetes. Just please be aware of these risk factors and see what can you do or what can we change in our lives to kind of put ourselves out of this risk category. Before I attempt to explain the facts about diabetes, we need to take another look at this wonderful machinery that is human body. Each and every time I think about how the human body functions, the situation like this, I can only bring glory to God for the marvelous work He has done when He built our body. I cannot sing, but I cannot use any other words than what Psalmist says in Psalm 139:14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows it very well. When looking how intricate and harmonious our body works, the concept of evolution seems practically impossible. Our body is so delicate, and at the same time, it's so strong. Each organ is connected and so complex that only a blind person or a person that chooses not to see cannot see the hand of the Creator. Human body will never cease to amaze me, and what amazes me the most is the love of our wonderful Creator and our God. Going back to the diabetes, the definition is defined as chronic, a disease associated with abnormal high levels of sugar in the blood. Let's take a look at all the organs that are involved in this process. The pancreas. The pancreas is a cone-shaped-like organ located on the upper part of the abdomen on the right side, close to the stomach. This organ plays a very important role in the body, and especially when it talks about diabetes. Because this organ secretes, produces two hormones. One is called insulin and one is called glucagon. Both of these hormones play key roles when it comes about the sugar absorption in the blood, in our body. Insulin works very well and it's very important when the blood sugar is high, and glucagon it plays a very important when the blood sugar is low. So why is glucose important? We will talk more about food and about when we'll discuss nutrition. But for what we need to know at this time, we're going to cover quickly. Well, food is important part of our life, not only because it looks good and tastes good, but because we need it to live. When we talk about food, there are three classes: carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. Of all these, all of these classes of food becomes a form of energy in a body, and once we eat them. But the carbohydrates are the ones that become very quickly, they are used by our body quickly and become a very quick form of energy. And that's not only for every cell of the body. Every cell of the body uses carbohydrates, uses glucose for their energy, source of energy. But the brain does not use any other form of energy except glucose. And when we take the carbohydrates, everything in a carbohydrate becomes glucose or sugar when it gets in our blood, except probably for the fiber. I will not go talking more about carbohydrates at this time, but glucose, you know, the carbohydrates, the food we eat, becomes in the stomach. In the stomach, it's processed, become glucose. Glucose is a simple sugar. And it's very simple sugar, and is the main source of energy for the cells in the body and also for the brain cells. Once glucose enters in our bloodstream from the intestines, it circulates in the body and provides the necessary energy for all the cells. If glucose is not needed, if we don't need the glucose, it becomes it's stored as glycogen in our liver, in our muscle. So when our glucose level in the blood is low, then the body changes and transforms the glycogen, becomes glucose energy for our body. And if we eat too much, some of the glycogen becomes fat. How the glucose, so these are kind of the way it goes. The food goes into our stomach. Insulin it helps to lower the blood sugar. How the glucose enter the cells? It's very interesting. It's a very interesting mechanism, you know. And we can see how God designed everything to the very, very small detail. In order for glucose to enter into the cells, glucose is a big molecule. It cannot go in and out the blood, the cells, to get the energy. That's why it needs a special key. And the key that opens the key gate for the glucose to get into the cell, it's called insulin. And it's very, usually, do you see that around the cells there are small spaces? That's how oxygen or very small molecules go through. But the biggest one, like glucose, they cannot get unless there is a gate that it's open and the insulin has the key. And the way usually when the food goes in our stomach, it becomes in a glucose go in a blood, in the blood goes to every cells in the body. At the same time, pancreas secretes the insulin, and the insulin and glucose, they travel together, get to the cell, and just get the food in. And that's how we work. That's how our body works. when the insulin is missing, not enough or not working well, the glucose is not able to get into the cell, so the cell is starving. When you're looking at the diabetes definition, it says that actually it's high levels of sugar in the blood, and this is because there is not enough insulin, or there is the cell, it's not sensitive, doesn't react to the insulin that is available. The most common signs for diabetes are frequent urination, increased thirst and hunger, weight gain, unusual weight loss, fatigue, cuts and bruises that do not heal, male sexual dysfunction, numbness and tingling in hands and feet. There are two forms of diabetes, and this is showing there are two main forms of diabetes. One is type 1 and another one is type 2. And this page shows which are more common signs for type 1 diabetes, which are more common for the other diabetes. The types of diabetes are diabetes type 1, type 2, gestational diabetes, and pre-diabetes, and diabetes insipidus. Now, type 1 diabetes, it's usually about 5 to 10% of the total number of diabetics. That's about 1.28 million. In the type 1 diabetes, usually the pancreas is not able to produce any insulin. So if you don't have insulin, the glucose does not get to the cells to feed it. Usually starts in a childhood, but I've come across a number of people who have adult onset of the type 1 diabetes. And for this kind of diabetes, people require injection of insulin with each meal. And sometimes they do injection, or sometimes they have a pump that kind of delivers the insulin. In type 2 diabetes, it's about 90 to 95% of the people with diabetes. This type of diabetes develops what is called insulin resistance. And what it means that pancreas makes insulin, but this insulin is not enough to address the blood sugar level. So there is a problem with the insulin. It's either not good or it's not enough. Gestational diabetes, it's usually a transient form of diabetes that happens when a woman is pregnant. And usually it can cause troubles for both mom and the unborn child. The bad news is that about 30 to 35% of women with gestational diabetes will get diabetes later in life. Pre-diabetes, it's not a diabetes, but it's your blood level, sugar level, it's high enough, but it's not high enough to become diabetes, but it's not low enough, so there is a problem there. And usually, if people with pre-diabetes don't take measures to change their lifestyle, they will develop diabetes. Which diabetes is most serious? Neither. Because no matter what type of diabetes, the high glucose, high blood sugar left in the blood can cause damage to organs, like eyes, to the heart, to kidneys, and feet. Diabetes is a very serious disease, and it needs to be treated properly. And try to keep the blood sugar within the normal level. The normal level, what is the healthy blood sugar or blood glucose levels? The normal for people without diabetes is between 70 and 120. This is where the body functions normally. There is no problems in everybody. All the cells in the body are taking care of their needs. Now, for people with diabetes, that may be a challenge. And the goal, what we want for people with diabetes, just to have their blood sugar between, I put wrong, that's 70, between 70 and 130, I'm sorry, between 70 and 130 before the meals. So if you check, the blood sugar should be between 70 and 130 before each meal, 180 2 hours after the meal, never under 70, and the hemoglobin A1C under 7. Now, what is a hemoglobin A1C? Hemoglobin A1C is a blood test, and usually measure the amount of sugar that is attached to red blood cells in the body. The test usually tells the average blood sugar level for the past 3 months. So you may be good for a little while, and you know, you just have a doctor appointment, be good for a little while, go and check the blood sugar, it looks fine. But when they check your A1C, they actually figure out if for the last 3 months your blood sugar was constant. And the goal is to be kept below 7%, because that means for the last 3 months the blood sugar is average around 150, which is not a bad number. Why is diabetes bad? Diabetes, it's a serious condition because it can have devastating effects on the body. And usually one of the things that may happen to people with diabetes, it's hypoglycemia. And hypoglycemia means that the blood sugar is too low. Usually means below 70. If a person develops this kind of, it happens, has hypoglycemia, usually it starts very, very quick, and it requires treatment, because otherwise can be have deadly effects. You know, a person can die if there is no treated. And usually goes very, very quick. It doesn't take too long for the blood sugar to go lower. And for people with diabetes, not everybody that has hypoglycemia is diabetic, but majority of the people who experience hypoglycemia are diabetics. The causes for people with diabetes to have hypoglycemia is because they eat too little food, they are skipping a meal, or they take too much insulin or diabetes medication, or the person is active more than usual. Symptoms for the hypoglycemia: blurry vision, rapid heartbeat, headache, shaking, dizziness, irritable, hungry, weakness, or sweating. If there is no treatment, usually the person can faint, have seizures, or go in a coma. That's why it's very important to have immediate treatment, since it's a life-threatening situation. And usually what we do suggest, what is suggested for the people who have their blood sugar, it's less than 70, we do want to treat, to check if it's true. If you cannot check it, treat it anyway. But if the blood sugar is less than 70, get about 3 to 4 glucose tablets, 3 to 5 candies, 1 tablespoon of sugar or honey, a drink of 4 ounces of juice, or half a can of regular soda. And give it about 15 minutes, check the blood sugar again. If it's still below 70, do it again. And notify the physician, if just to see what they want to do. If the blood sugar gets above 70, you do need to eat something more consistent. Glucose, sugar, candies, they are very fast acting. It gives you a boost in a blood sugar, but sometimes the body is so starved for nutrition that it uses it up very, very quickly. That's why you need to check it again, and then if it's still low, you still treat it again, take more. But once everything is stabilized, if it's above 70, try to eat something more consistent that will provide a continuous release of glucose in the blood. Um, Hyperglycemia. Hyperglycemia means that the blood sugar is high, and it's higher than normal. And we saw the numbers. It's usually it's higher than probably 150 when you check it. And what may be the causes for this? It's that you don't take the medicine, you are sick, eating too much, or not getting any exercises, and that the blood sugar may build up in the blood. The symptoms are, you know, mostly kind of similar to a certain degree with the hyperglycemia: thirst, frequent urination, weak, tired, dry, itchy skin, blurred vision. So blurred vision is common. Cuts and sores that heal slowly. Frequent infection or unexplained weight loss. okay. Now, the problem with the high blood sugar, the main problem is that the blood sugar, it attaches itself to the red blood cells. And when the sugar attaches to the red blood cells, the blood cells become very stiff, and they cannot be, when they go through the blood vessels, and in addition to the sugar, you know, they are sugar crystals called for a reason, because they are sharp, they have pointy areas, but this is formed from sugar molecules, and the sugar molecules are as abrasive as the sugar crystals. So they attach to the blood vessels, and when they go to very, very high speed, you know, like, you know, our heart beats 60 to 100 times a minute. Every time that red blood cells that is full covered with sugar goes through our blood vessels, it scratches, and it's, the problem is, when you have the high blood problem with diabetes, there is not only one blood cell that is so heavy, loaded with sugar, many the blood cells. So the pushing, it goes, and when you think the blood vessels are like tubes, and some of them, they are so small that the red blood cells, they need to go in a single file. And they are full with sugar, they are just scratching and scratching and scratching and scratching, and that can cause problems. And that's the main problem when the blood sugar is high, because it's affecting the way in affecting the blood vessels. The complications for the high blood sugar: heart disease, stroke, hypertension, blindness, kidney disease, nervous system complications, amputations, food problems, dental disease, pregnancy complication, mental health problems, and skin issues. And majority of this is because either the cells don't have enough energy or the blood vessels are damaged. How does diabetes affect the eye? These are another way of seeing the complications. Stroke, cardiovascular disease, and probably this is some numbers, 4.2 million of people, they have problems with their eyes, and because of diabetes, there is four to two times higher risk factor. 44 causes of new kidneys failure. Heart disease, two to time four higher numbers. So how does diabetes is affecting the eye? I was mentioning to you that, you know, we have blood vessels that feed the eye, and they are very, very small. And when these red blood cells that are full of sugar go through the blood vessels that are behind the eyes, it's scratching them, making them to bleed. And that's the leading cause that causes blindness. Usually these problems can be taken care of if they are found in the, you know, within the time, but many people don't look for a treatment. So that's very, very important to keep the blood sugar under control and have it checked regularly. Another causes so the causes glaucoma, cataracts, and retinopathy. The other problems diabetes can cause is kidney disease. They said about 44% of people with heart, kidney failure are because of diabetes. And when we talk about kidney failure, we don't think about heart failure where it doesn't work properly. Kidney failure means that the kidney does not work. And what it's needed, then that person have to be connected with some tubes. They have to pump the blood out of your body, go through a fake kidney to clean it up, return it back to the body. And this usually takes, in order for them to clean up the blood, takes about 3 to 4 hours, and it has to be done about 3 times a week. When we think about serious complication, that's as serious as it can be. And usually, once the kidneys are gone, there is nothing else to be done except kidney transplant. And we know how the transplant list is. Another concerning complication is neurological damage to the nerves that are in the legs. And what may usually diabetes causes in the legs is that people may lose sensation in their feet, or they have this burning, tingling sensation that it's always continuous there. About probably 60% of the amputations that are done, it's because of diabetes. It does remind me of a young lady. She was my patient, and she came to the hospital for a problem, health problem unrelated to the diabetes. And when I was doing her assessment, I just checked her feet to see how, you know, if there are any issues. She has her socks, probably she didn't remove the socks in I don't know how long. Because when I removed one sock, the stench was terrible. And needless to say, when she left the hospital, she has part of her foot cut off because of diabetes. I have seen many, many people with missing toes, missing part of the foot, missing the legs cut up below the knee, cut up above the knee, both of the legs missing because of diabetes and not taking care of diabetes. So it's a very, very serious problem. And we should be very careful. If somebody has diabetes, I cannot strongly advise stronger than just take care of. Make sure the numbers are right, because the complications are not, I don't want anybody to deal with. And it's very interesting that sometimes it can happen very, very fast. You know, very, very fast. I can tell you experiences about this, but just one, I think the time for me is to stop here, but I do plan to talk about more what we can do, how we can address the situation, because it's a serious lifelong disease that some people have to deal with. And we need to know how to address this, how to better take care of our bodies. In conclusion, I just want to pray that the message that is in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, should not apply to us. And if you see the continuation of the text, it says it's not only they are destroyed, but it's because they rejected the knowledge. And we don't want to be in the situation that God is going to reject us because we don't want to know more. I pray God will give us wisdom how to live according to his will. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the wonderful things, the wonderful machinery you have here, our body is. It's your creation, Lord. It's your masterpiece. And Lord, you give it to us to manage it. Lord, we know that this is a great responsibility. We need to make choices that will bring you honor and glory. And Lord, help us to do just that. Help us to make those choices that will make our body stronger. And not only make us stronger, but reflect your goodness and love for us. And also to reflect that our love for you. We ask, Lord, to be with us as we're gonna go on a separate ways for lunch. Lord, be with us as we're gonna continue to serve you and continue to follow you. Give us strength to face all the troubles we have each and every day. And Lord, I do pray, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.